So law enforcement and citizens have a way to identify that vehicle. And we're sensitive to it, and because you've got to balance function with aesthetics. And yeah, people want a pretty plate, and that's very subjective. What one person likes, another person doesn't. We've decided that there's no perfect plate. No matter what we put out there, somebody's not going to like it. But we work very, very hard with law enforcement to make sure that, A, it looks like an Oregon plate. We're trying to start to get them standardized, and if you guys keep passing them, we're just kind of making sure they look more and more as much as we can the same. Oregon being at the top, Oregon being the same font, making sure the letters can show up. Because what law enforcement will tell you is, frequently, it is a citizen at a crime scene that is their best witness, getting part of the plate, being able to, A, recognize it's from Oregon, and getting part of the configuration off of it. The busier the plate is, the harder it is to recognize even what it says. You may not even know it is an Oregon plate the more you get at them, the more designs there are. That's what some of the states are discovering that have multiple different background designs. So we are pretty protective of it. Now, I have talked with Rep. Gallegos about the education plate bill, and I said, I'll be perfectly honest with you, the first thing I would want to have done in that bill, if it were to pass, would be to remove the contest. When the treat plate was done, when you all picked, when you went away from the yellow and blue plate and you wanted a graphic design plate, you had us do a contest. And we did a contest. And there are staff that are still with the department, I was with the department at the time, that just literally duck under their desk when they hear the word contest. I mean, they just, it was a horrendous amount of work. And it didn't make people very happy. There were 8,500 entries. It took us the better part of 2 years to not only conduct the contest, but then finally get it down to a design. And then after we picked the design and made some changes, we were sued. We spent the next 2 years in litigation over it. The artist was temperamental, like artists can be. So now what we do is we would prefer to come up with a design and work with a group, but us to come up with it. And if somebody does give us a design, say, no, this has got to be what it is, we need to try to, and we modified. Our attorney general has us enter into a legal release with the artist. They must release it to us so that we can do what we need to do to make it a plate and not necessarily a piece of art. Because, I mean, frankly, this is only 6 by 12 inches. It's a hunk of metal. And as soon as I get across a room, you're not going to see most of the features on it anyway. And then you put it on a moving vehicle and go across the street. I mean, it's not the same as a beautiful painting on the wall that you can sit and look at. And I know that... you know, so we think that contests are not the way to go, and frankly, I don't know how I would get somebody from kindergarten through 12th grade to be able to have the right to sign a legal release with us to give us their design. So I would say, you know, contests, we never, ever want to do a contest again for plates. It just adds to the cost and the burden, and you get people with hurt feelings at the end. Their child wasn't chosen. How can you pit an 11th grader against a 2nd grader? Obviously, the 11th graders is going to be a better drawing. I mean, you know, I just really don't go there.
Not if the 11th grader is me.
Well, it wouldn't matter. This 44-year-old couldn't do a good one. So my point is... we need to have control over the design. It's got to be a plate that stays looking like a license plate that is easy to read. As far as cost goes, it's about $150,000 to do a plate. It's, if we do a contest and everything, it's going to probably push it up closer to $200,000. Just because we know the cost and everything associated with guidelines and calls and letters and, you know, just the whole bit. And they may or may not make the money back. I believe the more you do, as Representative Gelder pointed out, the more diluted the pile becomes of people that will want to buy them or be willing to buy them. And, you know, if folks, what I try to tell folks is if they're that gung-ho about the cause, they could simply write that cause a check and leave out the middle administration altogether, and then 100% of their money will go towards their cause. If you go through a license plate, not only do they have to pay for the cost up front, and the reason we can't use highway fund for these, the reason you see these bills drafted as general fund, is because the Attorney General has ruled that we cannot use highway funds to make profits for something other than the highway fund. So I can't spend money on these in order to generate money for somebody else. If I use highway funds, then the assets belong to the highway fund. So that came up when the salmon plate was being considered, and the Senate actually asked the Attorney General's office for a formal opinion on that, and there was a formal opinion issued at the time. So the groups or somebody have to come up with the money, and then the ongoing costs have to be deducted out of the surcharge. And we will probably, if any of these bills pass, and frankly, we would prefer less plates, not more plates. It becomes an administration complexity for us to continue to balance all these plates, all these prices, who can have them, who can't. Is it one time? Is it one time in each renewal? We would prefer less plates, not more plates. But I lost my train of thought where I was going with that. Sorry. We would prefer less plates, and because these don't sell very much and it's very unknown whether they're going to sell a lot or not, we will probably go towards a flat plate design, which is like the Crater Lake design. We can order them in smaller quantities, but they cost more. And so that cost would also be borne out of the surcharge and from the group. One other thing I want to tell you before I hush up and let you ask questions. There are bills being considered in the session that have been introduced that would require us to buy our plates only from an organ manufacturer. That stems out of the recent competitive bid where the contract was awarded to a firm in Canada. For all of the years that the plates have been around, it's pretty much been one firm in Portland that has produced the plates for us. There has not been competition in that field. This time on the bid, there was. The point of a competitive bid is to try to get the best product for the least cost to the taxpayer. That's the point of the competitive bid. And the Canadian firm's bid was significantly less than the Oregon bid. And I will tell you that competition does work, because the Oregon bid was lower than the previous five-year contract we'd had with them. So when they had competition, they lowered their price to us. If we end up with a sole source, and if those bills were passed, I don't know of any other manufacturer that's going to spring up in Oregon to start producing plates. I believe the cost of plates will go back up and possibly higher. So right now, those costs that I have and the surcharge money that we're holding back is based on current price. If those bills were to go forward and require us to buy only from an Oregon manufacturer, I believe the price will go up, and even less money of the surcharge will go off to the groups. So with that, I would conclude my remarks, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Kelly. Any questions?
Yeah.
Let's see. We'll start with Representative Dinko.
Thank you,
Mr.
Chair. Just have one question for Kelly regarding how does the department and also dealers let people know about these plates? Because I have to tell you, when I bought my car, I specifically requested the salmon plate because I knew about it. But do you provide a list? I see that you have it. Somebody printed up. You have it on your website. But are dealers required to say you have a choice of this many plates, and same thing at DMV?
Mr. Chair and Representative Dingfelder, that's a really good question. I'm glad you asked it because I'd forgotten to mention that. Thank you. Yes, the dealers know that the plates are available. And you may not realize, but from a previous bill on privatization, we've entered into an agreement with a pilot now with dealers issuing plates and stickers directly to the customer, not just doing the paperwork, but they're hooked up electronically through a third party to us, and are actually processing paperwork and issuing plates and stickers. And, yes, they are supposed to offer the same we would. Now, I will tell you that all of these plates that are from the groups are not stocked out in our field offices. They can take the application in, but there's so few sold that we don't have quantity out in 64 field offices, nor would we ask the dealers to stock them. But the dealers are stocking the other plates and the cultural now and any of the specialty background plates, we would have them stock and have to offer. We do not do advertising for any of the groups. That would be using highway funds inappropriately. We leave it to the groups to do that. We do have a conundrum. On our renewal notice that we have today, we can fit three on there. Besides the tree. So we offer Salmon, Crater Lake, and Cultural Trust. If any others pass, we frankly have not figured out what we're going to do and how we're going to have to modify the forms and the programming and everything to try to give you the list. We do not advertise these on the renewal reminder. We leave that to the groups. But the specialty plates have more of a broad appeal, so we've tried to include them on the renewal notice. I'm not sure what we're going to do in the future of any more pass.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Before Kelly, I'd like to ask Representative March to come up. But he's here to testify on House Bill 2993.
Oh, okay.
And
thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm glad you asked Kelly to stay. Because I was just writing out a question for her. For the record, my name is Steve March. I represent District 46 in the center of Portland. And the plate bill that I have suggested is contained in House Bill 2993. And it has to do, it's a special plate and I'm certainly open to design and leaving the design up to the department.
Thank you.
because it's fairly well known that cancer symbol is of this type would be a pink or red shaded ribbon. The funding, this would create a funding stream for breast and cervical cancer screening and treatment. And the emphasis there is on the treatment side we've had a number of cases where we've been able to get federal screening dollars, but for a number of patients, we did not have adequate funding for treatment and post-treatment work. So the one question I want to ask of Kelly was, you know, if more than one style plate was passed in a bill, would there be some savings? And the reason I raised this question is during the last legislative session, there were a number of plate bills offered up, and we were told at that time that there would be some savings if we sort of passed them at the same time and allowed the department to manage them that way. So I don't know if that's still the case or...
Mr. Chair and members and Representative March, there is some efficiencies by doing multiple at the same time, but it still takes about 12 months to bring up the plates, so you are using staff time for a full year to do that task. And it depends on the plates. You depends on the design and how it's going with the groups. We tried to do cultural and creator at the same time, but the groups were at different points of progression, and so we could make some efficiencies, but not all. And again, there is some efficiencies if you can try to do the programming at the same time, some things like that. But ordering, stocking, when you begin, it doesn't all come up at the same time. And the conundrum we have on the renewal notice is really stymieing us this time, so we're not sure how we're going to do that.
Any questions? Representative Donner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On cost, the startup's $150,000 each time we do one of these?
Mr. Chair and Representative, that's my rough estimate that I have at this point, yes.
What's the total when we get done? Is there any plate on here that we've actually recouped what we've invested in it from the state standpoint, other than maybe the first three up on top?
Mr. Chair and Representative, let me clarify what I'm saying to you. The $150,000 is these types of plates when they're totally special, which is all the bills you have in front of you right now.
Okay.
The ones down below, there was mass programming done. It's handled a little differently back in 93, and so bringing up each one of those has not cost $150,000, so I want to clarify that. It's been closer to around $4,000. We are now out of those slots, and so bringing up any new groups is going to be costing each group more. So some of those groups, no, have not recovered their costs. Obviously, the ones up at the top have. So far, cultural has not, but then it has just started.
Representative Mabry.
Question on the funds distributed.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what DMV has taken in. It's what's been distributed to the organizations. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair and Representative Mabry, that's correct.
Representative Greenlaw.
Is 3138 is not, I think the intention of 3138 was to make a plate like the bottom ones rather than the top ones.
Mr. Chair and Representative Greenlake, I don't know what the intent was for the Star of Life symbol, but the way the bill's drafted, it would be one of these plates. I don't know whether these groups, if these groups have an association, a nonprofit association or something, they may qualify for the group plate to where they could do this, but they wouldn't get a symbol. They would get words. The only ones using symbols right now are colleges and one veteran group. Symbols have been discussed about in past sessions with legislators for nonprofits, and you all haven't wanted to go there because once you open up that box, you may end up with symbols on there that you don't really want to see, like a marijuana leaf for normal, a swastika, things like that. Sometimes there are good symbols, and then there are symbols that people don't think are good symbols. But currently, 3138 is written to be a whole new specialty type plate bill.
Hi, Representative Zahners, and Bill is one of those, and I'm a co-signer on that. It was certainly my intention when I co-signed to add it to the bottom list rather than the top. I thought maybe the person who brought it to that in mind as well.
Which one?
The emergency medical service one.
Mr. Chair, the 3138, if you look at Section 2, Subsection 4, it does, line 25, it does say Star of Life symbol. So, it's your bill.
No, no, what's a Star of Life
symbol? Well, it's like she's saying it's a symbol.
Mr. Chair and Representative Dingfelder, if I might, if it were going into this statute, it'd be amending 805-205. It's not. It's creating all new. This is what the plate, this type of bill looks like for this type of plate.
Okay. Thank you.
I don't think that's necessarily what Representative Zahner and I had in mind. No. I think that one can be modified easily.
Is there any questions of Representative Mark on 2993? I see Representative Mark, that yours appropriates $100,000, or would appropriate $100,000, I assume general fund dollars?
I was using that as the estimate of what the department would request to set up the plate, and I basically designed it that way, so knowing that there's always been resistance from the department on these, and one of the ways of resistance is putting a big price tag on it, so I just led with the price tag. Unfortunately, I led with last session's price tag, however, I do think that there is some savings, and I am more than willing to work with the other three bills I see. Representative Mabry, you're on House Bill 2774, and a number of you are on House Bill 3138, and I would be happy to work with Representative Gallegos, too, if we could work out and put them all on one, if that would save both money in the setup costs and streamline the process for the Department of Motor Vehicles. I think each of these has a cause, and I'm not hung up on a symbol, although it's I think there's certainly symbols out there that are probably appropriate. But I do understand the concern of the department and past legislatures. So I appreciate you hearing the bill, and I'll be happy to work with any of the authors or any of you in the committee to come up with an alternative proposal, and that's why I had the relating clause fairly broad relating to special registration plates, in that I last time had it a little too narrow and was not able to join with some other folks.
I see we have Representative Johnson here. Could I ask you to come forward, and then we'll get everybody. I've got parallel hearings going on all of these license plate bills at the same time.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Betsy Johnson. I'm the state representative from House District 31. Mr. Chair and committee, first I'd like to apologize. You heard a bill that I introduced on behalf of one of my constituents this morning, and I understand that you acted unanimously on it. I apologize for not being here. I was at a meeting that created an unavoidable conflict. So thank you. My purpose in coming this morning was to talk a little bit about Lewis and Clark. When Representative Greg Smith had introduced a Lewis and Clark bill, I had the opportunity to chat with him. I happen to be the head of the Lewis and Clark activities for the entire state of Oregon. This is the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial Organization, and I think that you also heard that bill this morning as well. Oh, it's gathered into this.
Okay.
And I, particularly because Representative Marbury's district is affected by the Lewis and Clark activities, I wanted to take this opportunity to just quickly brief the committee on the scope of the Lewis and Clark activities that are going on. I'll be very brief. The President of the United States kicked off the Lewis and Clark commemoration in January of 2003 at Monticello. And the commemoration will move west, culminating in Oregon's signature event at Fort Clatsop in November of 2005. That date corresponds with the date that Lewis and Clark wintered over in Clatsop County 200 years ago, and it will focus national, if not international, attention on the state of Oregon. We have, over the course of the last year, convened a board with the gubernatorial imprimatur on it. We're always looking, and I particularly would address this to Representative Marbury, we're always looking for folks whose livelihoods or residences are along the trail for inclusion on the board. That is a dynamic process, and the new governor has indicated a willingness to entertain additional nominations. But the governor became involved, as did a number of state agencies, and tourism has engaged in a large way to help Oregonians, if not the nation, understand the significance of this commemoration. We're also working with a number of tribes and have tribal representation on the board. Regrettably, the 2003 legislature did not give the Lewis and Clark activities a huge amount of money, and given the constraints of this budget session, I am not optimistic that there will be any legislative largesse in the area of Lewis and Clark commemoration activities, but we have put together a board with an executive director committed to raising the money necessary to make sure that Oregon can stand proudly with its sister states, who have made much larger contributions towards entertaining activities. But I think with the engaged board and the help of the governor's office as well as other state agencies in making sure that visitors have a positive experience here, we mark the commemoration in ways that are sympathetic to tribal concerns and sympathetic to historic preservation and commemoration of an event that really opened the West for America. I am acutely aware of the cost associated with these plates, and I came today mostly to update you on the activities of the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial Organization rather than to make a case for the Lewis and Clark license plate. But I knew that you were taking this matter under advisement, and I wanted to make myself available to answer any questions about Lewis and Clark activities, and certainly to extend an invitation to any of you who have a keen interest in the history of Lewis and Clark or your districts are touched by Lewis and Clark to get in touch with me. And I'm sure that as we move forward, particularly into the fundraising phase, that we will find ample opportunity to employ your talents and connections. So thank you, Mr. Chair and Committee, for your courtesy.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Greenlee.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to ask both of my colleagues a kind of public policy question, independent the support for an individual license plate. And I think Kelly touched on it before. We now have five different styles of Oregon license plates on the back of the car, right? Any one of these plus
three in
the
Oregon
three
Trail.
Plus the special one.
Plus Oregon Trail, plus these.
We have six different kinds of license plates on a car now. Are we getting too far out of the realm of making it easy for state police and accident witnesses to understand what the heck an Oregon license plate? I mean, and there's proposals for three more or four more here. We might end up with 10 different license plates, different colors, different color numbers, different styles. Are we getting out of bounds here?
Well, Mr. Chair, Representative Greenlee, I did not envision creating a whole new design. I envisioned piggybacking on one of the existing designs in the least obtrusive manner possible. So and at the same time, highlighting cancer as being one of the things that touches probably more families than we would wish, and that I don't see it. I would not, and you know, argue for a new design. I would argue to put it on one of the existing designs and leave the department to figure out how the best way to do that.
And Mr. Chair, Representative Greenlee, I can't answer from the technical perspective of the difficulty for witnesses at accidents. I can certainly tell you, as the daughter of a breast cancer survivor, I couldn't be more sympathetic to bringing attention to the ravages of cancer. But also, the meeting that I have just come from involved some Ways and Means folks and helped drive home more acutely than heretofore the financial dilemma that the state finds itself in. And absent some indication that there is no general fund cost associated with these license plates, I would in good conscience find it very difficult to aggressively advocate for additional plates at additional general fund cost.
Mr. Chair, would there be an opportunity maybe for us to get a read on how many plates would be purchased? Could we send out questionnaires and find out how many would buy the cancer or how many would buy this? So we have some idea of what it's going to cost us, because I assume if we don't get $150,000 worth, then the state's going to have to absorb that. So maybe we get a pre-qualifying list before we do the final thing, because I understand it takes a year, you say, to kind of design. You know, maybe there's some way to work that in there. Can we,
Mr. Chair, Representative Zahner, our neighbor to the south, also known as Baja, Oregon, or California, has actually had a cancer plate now, I believe it's for at least 3, if not 4 years, and we could probably find out what their experience is and see what that would produce.
Mr. Chair, if I might follow up on Representative Marsh's comments. I would caution going with looking at another state and what their sales are. What our experience has been from looking at other states, when you have registration fees that are several hundred dollars, like California's are, because they're based on value of car, people are much more inclined to go ahead and spend another $20 to get the plate they want. What we hear from folks is our registration fees are so darn low that to double it just for a cause, there will be some people that will do it, but most people will not. That's what we hear at the field offices from our citizens today. They think, I don't want to pay twice as much. And like when salmon rolls around again, they go, I don't want to pay it again. So I would caution you at looking at states, because we are the lowest in the nation other than South Carolina, and by a long shot. I mean, even if you doubled our registration fee, we would skyrocket to 45th place in the nation. So our registration fees are low, and that does play into whether or not people will pay more money. That has been our conversations at the field offices.
Representative Byer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is really for Kelly more than anything. Would you clarify for me, we pretty much set this up at state expense and recoup it through sales. Have we ever asked organizations to front the setup costs prior to that?
Mr. Chair and Representative Byer, for these plates, other than the initial programming, which has never been recovered and probably should be from these groups, or probably wouldn't be constitutional, but they don't make enough, as you can see, for us to get the money back out. These groups are supposed to pay the upfront costs. But the other plates have typically been general funded. Now, last session, the two plates were that passed. There were 8 plate bills and 2 made it, Cultural and Crater Lake. The Crater Lake folks actually did come forth at, even though the bill was passed saying try to use the refundable gas tax fund money if it's available, which it isn't. So they were getting antsy. They wanted their plate after several months. They actually got a loan, the National Park Foundation. Klamath County lent the National Park Foundation the $150,000, who then lent it to us. We had to put it in a special account, and then, you know, that's what that they did do that. And that is how Senator Atkinson had drafted his bill last time. Now, I will just say that if what Representative March is saying is that he would prefer to have one of these plates with, like, the ribbon symbol on it or something like that, it would be a different-looking bill than this. It would be amending 805-205 if there is a nonprofit group out there that could step forward to sponsor it. I don't know if the American Cancer Society qualifies as a 501c, but that's what you have in statute. And if you were to decide that nonprofits could have symbols. Again, the only reason you haven't gone down that path is because it opens up the door. And when we try to tell a group, no, your your cause is political or whatever, according to statute, no, then they threaten to sue us. So, and we have been sued. We've been sued over the word pray on a custom license plate. We are in the middle of a litigation at the Supreme Court level over the word vino. So when we do tell people no, they do tend to sue us. So I just want you to know, if you go down that path, I'm just telling you that there will be symbols out there that somebody's going to ask for that we're going to probably have to say no to, or may not have the right to say no to.
You mentioned these groups are supposed to pay the cost. Have they paid the cost, or are we subsidizing them?
Mr. Chair and Representative Honor, the upfront costs were subsidized by the state, by the highway fund. The money that was back in 93, we didn't know we were supposed to use highway funds.
Okay.
It was only 97 that the AG came forth with a formal opinion saying, nope, from now on, you know, these people need to pay their way. You can't do it, and you should the highway fund should be reimbursed, but there hasn't been general fund money to do that. So,
and a final question is: is there something we could do through DMV mailing to ask people if they're interested? Give them a list of how many would buy these different plates that we're trying to do, so we can find out if there is, you know.
Mr. Chair and Representative Honor,
about that $150,000 on these things.
I don't know whether DMV would need to do the mailing. I don't know whether we could. I don't know. I'd have to look at that. I don't think we could use. I'm sure we couldn't use highway fund money to do that, because again, we'd be soliciting information for fundraising for something out of the highway fund. And I don't know whether, under the Driver Privacy Protection Act, whether we can use our information to solicit that kind of information. I'd have to look. I'm not sure. There may be some prohibition of using personal information in that way.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank
you. And then, Kelly, the Representative March's bill, the 2774, it would take an amendment to...
2993. Yeah.
2993 would take an amendment then to change it to allow just where it tags on the left-hand side.
Right, Mr. Chair. It'd be that's right. If we were to be heading for a symbol for cancer screening on this type of plate to give them to give a nonprofit group the ability to apply for that, you would be amending the statute 805.205. And this bill is just creating a whole new statute. So, nonprofits.
No. Well, what if we? How about? So it's something like that, cancer.
Now, Mr. Chair, I would say under 805.205 today, without a symbol, they could certainly do some sort of words that depict what the group's function is, like cancer awareness, support cancer awareness. They have a 3x3 space to put some words there. Yes, they could do that, and they would, and you would not need to open up the Pandora box of symbols then.
How much, Mr. Chair?
Representative Greenland.
How much would that? How much does it cost to just do that?
Mr. Chair and Representative Greenlick, as we speak, there are applications coming in filling up the last slot. So to create some new programming for this is about, I'm going to say, $15,000 at the most. I mean, that's ballpark. Because it's piggybacking off existing system is why it's so much less. It's not creating a whole new plate inside the system.
So maybe we could do that EMS thing with the sponsors and see if that's something that would serve there. I think that's... would really serve their needs.
And you don't need a bill, then, to do that, though.
Mr. Chair, to do what Representative March is saying, to do something like says cancer screening awareness or something to that, support cancer screening, whatever it is, no, that could be done under current law today. Only if you're trying to do a symbol for a nonprofit group would you need legislation.
Okay. And then the Lewis and Clark bill... You know, that only comes around every couple hundred years. We get to celebrate 200 years. So it seems like to me it should be a little special. And we need the bill to accomplish that. And there's upfront monies, you say, up could be as much as $150,000.
Mr. Chair, to create a whole new plate like the Crater Lake, like the salmon, is about $150,000, give or take. Could be a little more, could be a little less. But, yes, that's my figure.
And, Mr. Chair, speaking on behalf of the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial Organization, the demand on our money that we're all raising charitably is so great right now, given the paltry amount that the state contributed, that I think our board would elect not to go in the direction of a Lewis and Clark license plate if we were required to put up the $150,000. We are anxious about the return, given the low sales, for example, of the cultural trust plate, and I think it would be too large a gamble when we're looking to try to fund exhibits like the cargo exhibit in the Columbia River Gorge, the Fort Clatsop interpretive exhibit, and to make visitor accommodations for what could be upwards of 1 million people coming to Oregon to participate in Lewis and Clark commemoration activities. I think the wisdom of the board would be that that would not be the kind of solid investment that the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial Organization would be looking for.
What was the budget amount that the state gave?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the original request was $300,000, and by the time the budget negotiations through five special sessions were over, it was $100,000, and by the time the pro rata deductions were made in special session five, it rolled out the door at $97,500.
Need to get out of the building in a hurry. There won't be anything left.
I tell you, they had to pry my fingers off that check. But by way of comparison, Montana and Idaho have made very significant contributions to their Lewis and Clark activities, and I certainly am not at this point advocating that this legislative assembly make that kind of investment. As much as it pains me as the chair of the LCBO board to say that, I think given the really serious nature of our budget problems, that we will turn to the Elio Massoneri community and seek their assistance for these commemoration activities.
Have you read Stephen Ambrose's book on Lewis and Clark?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, it would be a lie to say I'd finished it.
It's a great book. Yeah. Representative his honor.
Yeah, Representative Johnson, what if we could get use the car dealer frame around a license plate and get car dealers to...
get money in.
No, but I mean, the car dealers could put Lewis and Clark on there to promote it around regular license plate. I'm interested in the promotion of it, and I think we should do that, and maybe I'll talk to the automobile dealers, and maybe they'll come up with something to do.
Mr. Chair, Representative Zahner, on behalf of the board of the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial Organization, I would be deeply appreciative if you would pursue that. We need all the public awareness that we can muster in order to make Oregonians aware of the fact that this event is occurring. It is my experience that it's very easy for Oregonians to prepare for very limited duration events, but when you have an event that spans ostensibly 6 years, it's very difficult to bring people's focus to the need to have the appropriate infrastructure in place, the appropriate visitor accommodations, particularly as we're looking for a very high-end European visitor that ties in with the Lufthansa flights that are now servicing PDX. Most of those visitors tend to be what are called heritage visitors who come to some place in the world for historic events. They tend to be older, better educated, more affluent. They stay longer at the destination where they're going and concomitantly spend more money in the local economy. So I think as an economic development tool in an economy that desperately seeks stimulus, that doing anything we can to bring Oregonians' attention to the dependency of this commemoration would be critically important, and I would do anything I could to get you in touch with the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial staff in order to make your outreach to the car dealers easier. Thank you.
You got that down good. Really well.
He really got that down. Yeah.
Is there any other questions? Thank you. Thank you, folks, for coming today.
Thank you for your courtesy, Mr. Chair.
On House Bill 3138, one of the persons that was wanting to testify on this can't make it, and we're going to hold it over till Friday. I see Representative Zahner is one of the sponsors.
We'd probably need an amendment, too, on that. Wouldn't we? We'd have to change something in there to make it. I'm going to do it with the regular plates there, and so maybe, Janet, you can help me. Do whatever we need to do to make that consistent with the other thing, because I'm not interested in running that kind of money or doing a symbol.
Mr. Chair and Representative Zahner, are you interested in a symbol, though, or just the wording? Because if you just need the wording, there's no need for a bill at all.
We should get together with Representative Zahner's constituent, who's also somebody else.
Thank you, Kelly.
You're welcome, Mr. Chair.
So if we remove the symbol, we don't need any bill? Is that what you're saying?
Correct. A quick question for Kelly, though.
Correct.
Okay.
Remove the symbol, you don't need legislation.
If there's a nonprofit, Kelly?
Mr. Chair, if there's a nonprofit.
I think there is.
When you were talking about this, not needing a bill, you were talking about having one more slot open and then having to go back and retool. Can you kind of explain that a little bit?
Mr. Chair and Representative Beyer, what I was saying is when the initial group plate bills, all the groups, was created in 93, we built 30 slots. It's taken us 10 years to fill the slots. and to create more slots will not need legislation. Okay. It simply will need money from the groups, and it will cost them more because they'll be building a little more infrastructure than, I mean, because we only built 30 slots, so we have to build additional capacity to do that.
Okay.
But it does not need legislation, and it would not need legislation, Representative Zahner, if you simply wanted to do something like, you know, emergency medical honor emergency medical services or some words about the group. If they are a nonprofit group, they need to either be a veteran group, a higher education, or a nonprofit group, and it's defined in statute as 501(c). And then there are some qualifications. Those forms are on the web, and I would be happy to drop one off so you could see what the application looks like, so they could see what qualifications they would need to see if they fit that. I'd be happy to do that.
Okay. Thank you again, Kelly.
You bet.
And with that there, I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2571, 2774, 2993, and 3138.
Bingo. Oh, I'm sorry. That's a different game.
Is there any other business, Jim?
Mr. Chair, we'll have the regular 9 o'clock on Friday meeting. You don't have an agenda yet, but that's not – there still will be a meeting, and you will have an agenda probably by this afternoon. Thank you.
Thank you, Janet. Anything else? If not, we're adjourned.